I'm Julia Child. Bon appetit.
Never underestimate the power we women have to define our own destinies.
You can't even get a decent bagel in Washington.
Many men have underestimated me before.
The dingoes got my baby!
You're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room.
As long as you all are under my roof, things are going to be done my way, starting now.
I have doubts.
We can give them heat, energy, give them a war hero with heart, forged by enemy fire in the desert in the dark.
But they will rue the day.
Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday, The Wacky Side of Blank.
Meryl Streep.
Yes, indeed. Wow, listen to all that. She's great. Could have gone on for hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
She's amazing.
Hours and hours. And she's amazing again. Well, I mean, I don't know if the movie's amazing, but it is an amazing idea and that she will do anything. I mean, what a party girl,
yes.
Meryl Streep.
Yes,
you know
indeed.
What I mean? Let's hear this Florence Foster Jennings clip, and then you can set up the movie for us.
Please, Mr. Bayfield, we'll be murdered out there.
You think that I'm not aware of that? For 25 years, I have kept the mockers and scoffers at bay. I'm very well aware of what they might do. But Florence has been my life. I love her, and I think you love her, too. Singing at Carnegie Hall is her dream, and I'm going to give it to her. The only question now is whether you will stand by your patron and friend in her hour of need, or whether you will focus on your ambition.
Hugh Grant having an amazing amount of fun.
Yes.
Being the, well, patron helper fellow of Florence Foster Jenkins, who's got to be the worst singer on planet Earth.
Yes, indeed. A real person, wealthy socialite who lived in New York. And she was so bad that she sold out Carnegie Hall. She recorded herself singing opera. She thought she was a coloratura, but she was actually a horrible singer. Meryl Streep plays her in this film. An amazing, very odd, true story. And this is a great comedy by Stephen Frears, a director I love, who did The Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep is great as this dowdy woman who can't hear what we're all hearing when she sings these ear-splitting notes. She thinks she sounds wonderful. She gains a cult following, and like I say, she eventually sells out the famous Carnegie Hall. Practice, practice, practice. And Hugh Grant, I have to say, in this movie, I know we all love Meryl Streep, you know, this incredibly decorated, most nominated actress. Hugh Grant owns this movie.
Really?
He is amazing in it, and I would be stunned if he doesn't get his first Oscar nomination as
wow.
her husband. He's just fantastic. So much fun.
Well, that will improve his mood.
Yes, indeed.
He's been so down on the world lately.
He needs
a few laughs. Well, that's great. And do they work well together as actor, actress?
They work wonderfully. I mean, they're terrific together. And it's such an interesting story because they had this very unusual relationship. He was a bit of a hound dog. So perhaps that's why this role is so good for Hugh Grant. But, you know, but yet they loved each other. And he doted on her, waited on her hand and foot, even though he also kept a mistress on the side. That's one of the more interesting things about the movie.
So this next film, Sausage Party, asks the question, can all food have an animated feature?
You're all alive and looking at me with your gloves and your little shoes and your arms and your legs.
Legs? Oh. Huh? Look at me. Look at me. You ate my damn legs.
Oh, no, not Mr. Pizza. I've eaten so many of your family members. I've committed pizza genocide. Mr. Sausage, when will it end?
When will it end? When he stops drinking us.
Yeah!
And when he stops using us.
A movie about sausage.
It had to be made, John.
Okay.
This is basically a Pixar spoof from Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, who did Superbad, and others. You've got basically a bunch of food items living in a supermarket. They think that when the humans come to pluck them and take them home, that they've been chosen. They're going to a better place. And of course, they discover that when they get home, their eyes are being gouged out. If they're potatoes, if they're sausages, they're being sliced.
Didn't they look around the supermarket and see the dead chickens and the...
There is a wonderful cart crash scene in this animated film that basically redoes the D-Day invasion in Saving Private Ryan. Great scene, I have to say.
You like this?
I thought this was very,
oh my
very
God.
Funny.
It is
reductive and offensive, but I laughed throughout the whole thing, and I thought it was great. Great voice cast. Edward Norton, oddly enough, playing Sammy Bagel Jr. A lot of great touches in this film. I had a real blast at it.
Pepperidge Farm Goldfish, a movie about them is
no,
not far
no
behind.
Goldfish. No goldfish. No,
but
good
that's
call.
Next.
That's got to be
that's
next.
Next. All right, movie number three is actually a serious release. Pete's Dragon. This is a Disney, right?
Yes.
I guess you heard about the boy.
I did. You know, word travels fast in this town. How long has he been out there?
6 years.
6 years? Nobody can survive in that forest for 6 years. At least not alone.
Well, he says... he says he wasn't alone. He says it's his friend from the forest. And it reminded me of...
I know what it reminded you of.
So that's about the only realistic... cinema realistic scene in this entire movie, right?
Well, you know, this is a remake of the old Disney film from 77, Pete's Dragon, which was a musical, a fun, lively musical, and the dragon was this sort of goofy imaginary friend who was ink and painted into the live action. This is a much more serious, much more dramatic version. The dragon is now CGI, massive, giant, green-furred creature.
I've heard it's a monster tearjerker.
It is. It really is. I have to say, I think this film is a little bit on the hokey side, maybe a little bit too serious and intense for younger viewers. But even though it is a little corny, I have to admit, it just reduced me to a puddle by the end.
Really?
And I think it's the director, David Lowery, who did Ain't Them Body Saints. He's got this kind of Spielbergian touch. He loves these grand vistas of nature, and it works. It worked on me. Despite my best efforts to resist, it worked.
Something about those little boys on the shoulders of big monsters with wings.
Right, exactly. And that's Robert Redford, of course, as the only guy who has actually seen the dragon before. So the young boy and the grandpa figure make a connection there.
How did he look? Better than Spock in Star Trek?
Yes, he did.
He did? Sorry, that's
ouch.
Terrible.
Ouch.
Well, no, Spock looked okay. I mean, Redford, you know.
Redford. No, you know, he's still holding up.
Yeah.
He looks good, you know. And this is a small role for him, but it's a nice role. And, I liked the movie, even though I tried to be a grouch. I tried not to cry, but it didn't work.
Try to be a grouch. Three winners this week.
Three winners.
You failed miserably at being a grouch, Rafer Guzman.
End of summer. Great week for end of summer, surprisingly.
Film critic for Newsday. Thank you so much, Raver. Have a great weekend.
You too, John. Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.